Good morning. You're listening to Our Times, and this is Craig Barnes, and we have as a guest this morning Peter Wirth, Senator Peter Wirth from the Santa Fe area. Peter was fighting in this last 7 days or 7 days here recently in a horrible budget fight on the Hill here, trying to figure out how the state of New Mexico is going to save money or make money or balance its budget. And I'm apt to recall, Peter, that the beginnings of democracy come from fights over taxation. I can remember that in 1215, the barons circled around the King of England and said, "You cannot tax us without giving us fair notice in advance of what the tax is going to be and give us a chance to come together and talk about that tax and decide as a group rather than just as a king telling us what to do, how you're going to raise his taxes." Well, democracy rose from those first councils of barons and earls and priests all surrounding a king. And down through the last 800 years, the battle of who is going to pay for the taxes has continued until today. And you've just been through an extraordinary fight on the legislature and for the last years of your life here as both the representative in the state house and now a state senator. You've been struggling with this trade-off between how do we do the populist thing and cut taxes and how do we do the responsible thing and pay for what we the benefits we have. Senator Peter Wirth, for our listeners, is a bright star on the firmament in New Mexico politics. He has come in to office beginning in the State House in 2004. He was on the House Appropriations and Finance Committee, Energy and Natural Resources. And then he's moved in 2008, he moved to the State Senate. And he's the Peter, I'm going to say about you, I'm going to embarrass you, you are the senator who does your homework. You are the person who knows the numbers and yet maintains a kind of a demeanor that says we can do this. That there is a way that responsible people can solve the problems if they work together. It's a delight to have you on Our Times. Good morning, Peter Wirth.
Good morning, Craig. It's great to be here.
You've just come through a hair-raising session, 7 days in which the governor said what you could do and what you couldn't do, and you found yourself standing on the floor of the Senate saying what the governor is telling us we can't do, which is to decide where the revenue is going to come from to make up this budget. What the governor tells us we can't do is actually unconstitutional. You, a freshman senator, were telling this longtime governor, this giant of New Mexico politics, Mr. Giant, you are unconstitutional. What was going on?
Well, I think you kind of hit it right on the head up front. It's a battle for democracy and really a battle for, you know, the Constitution and what the different roles of the different branches are. And the particular constitutional debate was, you know, whether the governor could not only tell us that we needed to be in special session, which he certainly has that right under the Constitution, but then tell us, here you are, come in, deal with this budget crisis, and rather than give us all the tools that we needed to do the job, basically tell us, I want you here, but you can't look at the revenue side. And basically, the Constitution, in my opinion, doesn't give him that right.
And so he said, we've got a big shortfall. We've got, what, a $650 million? Million or billion? Million.
$650 million.
Million, yeah, okay. That's $650 million. That's all the same to all those taxpayers. We pay the same amount. So we've got a $650 million shortfall, and you're going to come and decide how to cut who, and you're going to take the pain and agony of deciding who to cut, but you can't decide where to raise the money. Is that right?
Well, that's right. And the tough thing was there were two positions. And in fairness, you know, there were discussions with some of the legislative leaders going in. And this number, the deficit size, has been growing in magnitude. When the discussions were initially occurring between our legislative leaders and the governor, it was about $450 million. And the governor said two things. I don't want any cuts to education. Education's about 60% of the budget. So number one, no cuts to education. Number two, no taxes. We do not want to discuss taxes until January when we're back in session.
And that means me, the governor, doesn't want you to discuss taxes.
Well, in fairness, though, I think some of the legislative leaders felt that way initially. I think what changed is the magnitude of the situation increased from 450 to 650. And it doesn't look like we're going anywhere positive here between now and January when we're back to do the 2011 budget. So I think there were a group of us that were very frustrated with the situation we were put in. It's a tough thing to come in and, you know, deal with cuts to education, deal with cuts to health care, Medicaid. These are core government functions. And for the same reason, some colleagues say, look, I don't want to vote for taxes. Well, there's many of us that it's just as hard to do what we were just asked to do, which is come in there and cut. And then we didn't even really get there. We only came up with about $211 million in recurring cuts, meaning that we have a structural deficit we're carrying forward. So
you had $650 million to make up. You cut $211 million of regular expenses, and the rest of that deficit had to be made up by what, stimulus money, or where did that come from?
Yeah, it was stimulus money was a chunk of it, and then we went into all the state agencies and swept away all the money, their rainy day funds, money they'd been setting aside. We took that all back, and I think that one of the things that's also out there is we refunded some capital outlay projects that had used general fund money, one-time general fund money. We took bond money and replaced it with general funds, so we pulled a little of that back. But it's all, as you say, it's one-time money, which means that come next January, that money's gone.
Now, from the standpoint of those of us who were standing out, just dancing around on the outside of this, it all sounds like very arcane, very difficult numbers of big numbers and little numbers and numbers that aren't realistic to us. But in fact, the larger point is that the governor said, you're not going to talk about taxes because I'm not ready, and the leadership apparently agreed with that. We're not ready to talk about taxes. We're only ready to have you bear the pain of deciding which agencies are going to get cut and how it's going to get cut. And in fact, in the last 30 years, this country has been in a kind of revolution against taxes. The state of California passed Proposition 13. They weren't going to pass, allow any more taxation without a special provision, special voting. There was a kind of revolution against the, I know George Bush, George H.W. Bush said, no new taxes, read my lips, and had to come back on that. In general, the idea that the people are going to pay for what they get has been discouraged or been attacked. I was reading on the blogs this week that people are arguing that taxation is an expropriation, it's an extortion, it's a redistribution of wealth really a fascistic, that nobody should have to pay taxes. And here the governor says, here in New Mexico, we've got this huge shortfall, but you won't talk about taxes. When and how does a legislator, a conscientious senator, a freshman senator who's taken on the governor and calling him unconstitutional, when and how do you and your colleagues face up to the issue that we have to actually raise money?
Well, I think we're there right now. I think coming out of this session, the one thing that we were able to do by having this discussion, this debate on the floor of the Senate, Senator Worth, joined by Senator Rod Adair, one of the most conservative Republicans in the state Senate, stood up and said, you know, Senator Worth, you're right. And this is something that we should have the debate. He said, I'm not voting for these bills, but it's unfair to not even have the debate. And so I think that what we were able to do is move the discussion. And quite frankly, all of a sudden, in our caucus, there were discussions about both sides of the equation, namely the spending side and the revenue side. And so we're setting this up for January. And again, we didn't do what we should have done, in my opinion, in this special session. But I think come January, the governor's also said he's on board with looking at revenues, and we're going to have the discussion. Now, whether we have the votes to pass any kind of revenue enhancements will be a very interesting thing to look for in January.
As I understand it, early on in your tenure when you began in 2004 and Governor Richardson was just getting going, he championed and the legislature was happy to go along with cuts in gross receipts tax and capital gains taxes and personal income taxes, cuts across the board in taxation, as if to join the Reagan Revolution and say taxes are bad in general. And has there been any discussion now, or was there any discussion this last session, will there be in January, of reviving some of those taxes we even had on the books as lately as 2004?
I think there will. And Craig, let me put this in perspective for folks, because I think one of the things you hear a lot about is, you know, government spending here in the state of New Mexico has gone through the roof. And in fact, during the last 6 years, our budget has increased from $4 billion to $6 billion. So there has been a 50% increase in spending. But during that same period of time, we cut about $1 billion out of the tax base. And I think that what happens is you get the perfect storm that we have right now, where you have a national economy in recession, you have oil and gas down, and we're coming out of this situation where we have taken a huge hit. Our tax base has taken a huge hit, and it puts us right in the situation we're in. And I think there's no choice, in my opinion. You just can't. It was so hard to get to $211 million in recurring cuts. And again, we could well be looking at $500 million in January that we need to come up with. And the idea that we're just going to come in and across the board cut 10% out of all of our public education, our state agencies, I just don't think the legislature is going to be willing to do that. I don't think, quite frankly, the governor is going to be willing to do that.
Well, now the populist view has got to be, well, you know, there's a lot of fat. A lot of agencies have extra people. They spend money on cars and tires. There's some guys out there just kicking the tires. So maybe if we keep cutting them, we'll cut out that fat. What's your response to that?
Well, I don't dispute the fact that there's going to be some fat that's there that needs to be cut out. And one of the things that happens when you're in a situation like this is it's an opportunity to really reevaluate the structure of government and figure out, are there things we can do better? And I think there's no question there are things that we need to do better and we can look at and do that kind of restructuring.
Can you point to any agencies or any places where you think we actually have been wasting money?
Well, it's tough. You know, you go back in. I think a big issue, for example, we have a policy where we allow people to retire and come back to work. They call it double dipping. Those state employees don't like that. It's really return to work. But we have a situation where...
So they're getting both retirement pay and their full-time work.
Exactly. They're getting 80% of their salary for retirement is 80% of their three highest years. They take a little time off, come right back to work.
Can you stop that?
We did stop it. The legislature passed it this past January, and the governor vetoed it. Unfortunately, so there's a perfect example of one that I think the general public gets that they want it stopped. We're going to deal with that one way or the other, which may quite frankly be a veto override. I mean, this is the interesting thing when you're in a situation like this. You get into this tension amongst the different branches of government.
So is the governor trying to protect state employees? Is that what he's doing? Or what's on his agenda?
Well, I think there were some questions brought up by the attorney general about legal issues. If someone's got a vested right based on, you know, the system that's there and they get cut off. You know, the concern, though, is that every year we leave this in place, a whole new group come on board. And so I think there's an example where...
So what kind of numbers are we talking about? People who retire, they've been working for 20 years or something like that, or 25 or 30 years.
25.
They retire, and then they get 80% of their standard pay, and they take 6 months off and go to Kulum or Tulum or someplace like that and have a nice vacation in the sun, then hire back up and get their pay again?
That's exactly
and
right.
And what proportion of people are we talking about?
That's a good question. It's a couple thousand people, I think, that are doing it now. And in some places, it's a